I told Brother Jeff before church tonight, we sort of went back in the back room, just had a little season of prayer ourselves before the service tonight, and I love to preach, and I don't mind being called on from the floor or being called no notice, but I, under this situation, I really don't like to have to preach when my pastor's sick, amen, and my heart and my mind is on him tonight, and I'm certain if he was here, he'd do a whole lot better job than what I'm going to do. But I'm nervous because I'm preaching a new message. I travel a lot and go in different churches all the time, so I get to preach the same message over and over again a lot of times, and I get them practiced up real good. But I'm preaching a new one tonight, and I want to be a help to you. I want to be a blessing to the Lord, and so you pray with us as we try to bring the message God has put on our hearts several weeks ago. We haven't had many meetings this summer. Several have been canceled, and I've had plenty of time to get thoughts from messages and get messages ready, not chance to preach them. And so I'm going to preach one of the messages God gave me several weeks ago. Psalm 42, if you would, stand as we read from the Word of God. It's a short psalm. If you don't mind, I'll read the entire chapter, but there's two verses that speak out to my heart tonight. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Some say that this psalm might have been written by David, some by King Hezekiah. I think it might have been King Hezekiah, who was unable to go to the house of God for a while because of his sickness, but now he wants to go back to the house of God. My tears have been my meat day and night. I want you to listen to the words of this and get the mood that's in this text. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in thee. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Verse 5 and verse 11 caught my attention. Verse 5 says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. He repeats, I didn't see this till later on today, in verse 11, he repeats it, but just a little bit different. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance. In verse 5, it was the help of his countenance became the help of my countenance. Amen. Boy, I like that. That's not the message tonight. The message on my thought tonight is, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And I want to preach on this thought tonight, why it is well with my soul. Amen. My favorite song in all the world is that song, why it is well with my soul. And I was pleased to hear tonight when we came in the door and she was playing the preliminary music. She was playing It Is Well With My Soul. And I told my wife, she's playing my message. Amen. And I want to speak to you tonight on this thought, why it is well with my soul. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege of being here. And Lord, I pray again, God, you'd be with my preacher, Lord. God, touch him tonight. Lord, be real special to him, Lord. God, give him that measure of grace he needs for this hour that he's going through. And I pray, oh God, you'd lift up his soul, God, and encourage him. God, be close enough to him that he can hear you breathing, God. Lord, I pray you'd be with us here tonight. Lord, I learned a long time ago, I'm nobody and I'm nothing. But God, I want to give myself to you tonight afresh and anew. I ask, dear God, for that special touch that every preacher desires when he stands to preach the Word of God. Lord, I need your help tonight. Lord, you've encouraged me. I pray you'd help us encourage your people tonight. Lord, I pray especially if there's one here that's never been saved by your grace, I pray tonight would be the night. I pray, God, for the young people at camp. Lord God, you'd be with them, especially this one that's been taken to the hospital. God, I pray you'd recover her. Lord God, I pray you'd help those that are sin sick, never been saved. Lord God, save them this week. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Four or five things tonight I want to give you tonight on why it is well with my soul. As I read this passage of Scripture, I see how that it's some dark days. They said to him, "Where is thy God?" And he became very discouraged. And I think you and I would agree tonight that we are living in some very perilous and dark times. And in my 60 years on this earth, I've never seen the world in the condition that it's in right now. And I've especially never seen our nation in the condition it is. And I'm talking about spiritually. I could care less about the economy. I could care less about the politics. It's never made a difference in my life who sits in the White House. What's different in my life is who's in my heart, amen? And I thank God that the Lord Jesus Christ came in there several years ago, and he's now the president of my heart. He's the king of my life, amen? But in this passage of Scripture, the psalmist is going through some hard times, and he cries out, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me?" And that's the question I want to ask us tonight. Why should we be disquieted? Why should our souls be cast down? God's been good to us, amen? And so I want to give you about four or five things tonight on why it is well with my soul. Number one, it's well with my soul because my sins have been nailed to the cross, amen? Thank God for that, amen? In Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, the Bible says, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses," amen, "blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross." Boy, I thank God that when Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, he nailed all my sins to the cross of Calvary, and he tasted death for all of my sins. Amen. Hey, the Bible tells us in Psalm 103 and 12, "As far as east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." Thank God tonight my sins are gone because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, the Lord will not condemn me. Why? Because he has already forgiven me, having forgiven you all your trespasses. You know what the word "all" means? All means all, and that's all it means. I thank God tonight that all of my sin was nailed to the cross of Calvary and Jesus Christ took them away. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's well with my soul because my Lord will not condemn me. I'll tell you something else tonight. The law won't condemn me. Why? Because it's been blotted out. Look what the verse I just read said. "He hath quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us." You know what was against us? God's law was against us. Hey, the law never saved anybody.
But thank God the law was our schoolmaster to show us that we needed to be saved and pointed us to Calvary. And I thank God tonight the Lord's not going to condemn me. The law can't condemn me because he has fulfilled all the law. Amen. In fact, turn over there to Colossians chapter 2 just a second. Let me show you that. It won't take long. Then I'll try to hurry. Colossians chapter number 2. That was in verse number 14 where I finished. Verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or the new moons or the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. You know why we don't keep a Sabbath today? Because all 3 days that Jesus was involved in the cross and the tomb were Sabbath days. They were ordinances he took to the cross and nailed to the cross and took them out of the way. I thank God I don't have to satisfy God by keeping some set of rules or laws. I satisfied God through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God won't condemn me anymore, and the law won't condemn me. And by the way, Lucifer can't even accuse me. Well, he can. He can accuse me, but thank God I've already been acquitted by my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I stand before him today justified. Boy, think about that term, justified, just as if I had never sinned. You can point to me. My wife can certainly point to me and point out some of my sins, but Satan can't point out my sin because they've been covered and washed away by the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. I say, hallelujah, it is well with my soul. The songwriter said it this way, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin in not but in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh, my soul. Thank God it's well with my soul because my sins have been nailed to the cross. But I tell you a second reason why it's well with my soul tonight. It's because my circumstances are under his control. Now think about it tonight. My circumstances and your and I don't care what your circumstance is tonight. It doesn't matter what your circumstance is. God has it under control. Amen. Hey, you know it well as I do. Turn to the book of Romans, chapter number 8. I could quote it, but I'd probably mess it up because I'm kind of excited. Amen. Romans chapter 8, look at verse number 28. Many of you can quote it. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, I believe that verse of Scripture is written to those of us that have been called according to his purpose. And I believe if you were saved tonight, it was a calling according to his purpose. He called you. You got saved by his marvelous grace. That's according to his purpose. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And it's by his purpose that you got saved and you've been called according to his purpose. Then this verse applies to you that all things work together for good to them who are the called according to his purpose. Hey, listen, that means under his control, it's always productive. Whatever your circumstance is, it is productive for you and your life. It says right there, all things work together for good. I don't know what you're going through tonight. You know better than I do, but I know this. It may be a circumstance that you're uncomfortable with, but God's doing it for your good. Now, that's easy to preach. whole lot harder to live, amen. I know that. I know what I'm saying tonight, amen. It's always productive. It may not always be physically productive, but if you'll approach it in the right attitude, it will always be spiritually productive in your life, whatever circumstance you're going through. It's always active. We know that all things work. God's always working on our behalf, is he not? Hey, it's all encompassing. He said, all things work together for our good. There's a whole lot of things that have happened to me in my life that I have not yet figured out how they worked out towards my good. I remember in 1974, against my wife's better judgment and probably my better judgment, I bought me a motorcycle. And I didn't make but one payment on it and wrecked it. A little girl pulled out in front of me on a Sunday night. I was on my way to work. I was stationed at Seymour Johnson Field. Now, here's the thing that gets me. She wanted to go to church. It was Sunday night. We had one car and a motorcycle, and it's pouring down rain. She said, you take the car. I said, no, you go to church. I bought it. I'm going to ride it. Well, I headed down the highway, and I had on a thin pair of boots, and my feet started getting wet. So I turned around and went back home and put on some better boots. And on the way back, this little lady pulled out in front of me and almost killed me. And I always wonder why. Why? All things work together for good. I know this. It could have been that in that interim time when I went back to change boots, it could have been a tractor-trailer truck that came through there instead of a little old Chevy Nova. I don't know. But all things work together for good for them who are the called according to who love God and the called according to God. Hey, it's always harmonious. Work together for good. All things work together for good. It's God's, whatever our circumstances are, I believe as a child of God, nothing happens to us by accident, but by the providence of Almighty God. And so it's working for our good. And then listen, it has a purpose, that it has an end in view, and it's according to his purpose. What is that circumstance you're going through tonight? I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, even though it may seem intolerable, it may be seemingly unwanted and undesirable, but yet God has a purpose in working that thing out in your life. That's why we can say it's well with our soul. Why? Because our circumstances are under the control of a God who loves us. You think about the widow of Zarephath. There she was with nothing but her and her little boy and a little barrel of meal and a little cruse of oil, and they were going to eat it and die. And things looked, her circumstances were gloomy. And then the man of God comes by and says, give it to me first. Now she could have had a pity party. She could have said, you don't understand my circumstances. This is all we got and we're going to keep it. But she didn't. She took advantage of that circumstance and did what God had providentially brought into her life, and God sustained her all throughout that drought. Her circumstances were under God's control. You think about David. I believe one of the brothers preached about it last Wednesday night. David went down to Ziklag. And when he got there, the city was burned up. All of his wives and his children had been kidnapped. The people got so mad, the people started crying. They said they couldn't weep no more, and they got mad at David and wanted to slay David. David was in a bad circumstance. But the Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Hey, when we get in those bad circumstances and they look bad, what we just need to do is just encourage ourselves in the Lord. If David can do it by losing his wives and his children, bless God, we can take our circumstances and and bless ourselves and encourage ourselves in the Lord, knowing that our circumstances are under His control. Boy, Paul, held before the Sanhedrin Council, before Felix and Festus and Agrippa, and could have gotten scared, could have gotten run, but he had the assurance that God said, Paul, you're going to Rome. He could have got out of the boat at Miletus. He could have got out of the boat at Fair Havens, but instead he rode through that Euryclidon storm. He landed on an island and a shipwreck, was bitten by snakes, almost killed by pagans, but he had this assurance that no matter what the circumstance is, God has an appointment for me, and no matter the circumstances, I'm going to get to my appointment. That's why we can say tonight, it is well with my soul, because my circumstances are controlled by God. Psalm 37, 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Then he said, I've been young, now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. It's well with his soul, amen. I think about the man that wrote that song, H.G. Spafford. You know the story. His wife went on ahead to a meeting they were supposed to go to by ship. The ship she was on wrecked or crashed or sunk somehow. He was to fall along behind. And he got a telegram from her inquiring about the condition of the children. She wrote him a telegram, and she just said, saved, alone. Lost their girls in that shipwreck. He boarded the ship he was supposed to be on to go meet his wife. When he got to the place in the ocean where his daughters had died, the captain of the ship stopped the boat. He threw some flowers out where his children perished, and he penned this verse. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Well, what a circumstance. Lost his little girls, but had that peace of God that passes understanding. What he was saying was, my circumstances are in his control, so it's well with my soul. Number three, and I'm trying to hurry. Hey, my sins are nailed to the cross. My circumstances are under his control. And Satan was defeated at Calvary. That's why it's well with my soul. Boy, I think about that all the time. Thank God. The devil may be strong. He may be powerful. He may be running loose on this earth at this time. But thank God he was defeated at Calvary. Think about that tonight. He was defeated at Calvary. And that means you and I can have victory. Do you know we have victory over death, hell, and the grave? But I'm going to tell you something else tonight. We got victory over sin. You know, it took me a long time to learn this. But in Romans chapter 6, turn over there for just a minute. I want to show you something. I hope it'll be a help to you. I'm talking about that Satan, the very seed of sin, was defeated at Calvary, and at Calvary, you got victory. We're no longer a defeated people. We are a victorious people. But I wonder sometimes, why is it that so many of God's children, myself included, who have all this victory, why it is we have so much problem with sin? But in Romans chapter number 6, you'll find in verse number 1 through about verse number 11, you'll find out where we are positionally. I'm going to help you here if God will be my helper. In this verse, verse number 3, Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Not talking about water baptism. Talking about getting baptized in, not in water, but in Christ Jesus. Talking about getting saved, what he's talking about. We got saved, we were baptized into Christ Jesus. Now listen, verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now listen, this is present tense stuff. Did Jesus die and go in the tomb? He did, didn't he? Did Jesus resurrect from the grave and ascend back to heaven? He did. Now he's telling us that if we've been planted, verse 5, together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. We are resurrected. We were dead in trespasses and sin, but if you've been saved, you died in Christ and you resurrected in Christ. Amen? You with me? We are already resurrected. Go back to chapter 8 and you'll find out we're already glorified, but I ain't got time to go there. Knowing this, verse 6, that our old man is crucified with him. What happened to Jesus when he got crucified? He died. Our old man is crucified. He died with Christ. All right? That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now let me give you a little illustration. If I went down to the funeral parlor tonight and brought back a dead body and wheeled it down here in front of this audience, this platform, and opened it up, and there's a dead man laying in there. If I took a bottle of liquor and put it next to him, you know what he would do? He wouldn't drink it. Why? He's dead to sin. He can't drink it. If I took a pornographic book and laid it in front of his eyes, you know what he'd do? He wouldn't look at it. Why? He's dead. Whatever sin you want to name, this fella is dead. You could walk up to him and spit in his face. He wouldn't say a word. You could slap his jaws. He wouldn't say a word. You'd cuss his wife. He wouldn't say a word. You could cuss him. You'd cuss his mama. He wouldn't say a word. Why? Because he is dead to sin. Man, God help us. We that were in Christ entered into his death. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. As sheep before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was already dead to self when he died to us. Now look at it. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Now, let me jump down to verse number 12. What I'm trying to get you to see, this is where we are as a child of God. I was dead in trespasses and sin. I entered into his death, realized that he died to pay the sin penalty for me, and he was resurrected, and I've been resurrected a new man to walk in newness of life, and that is my eternal position. When you get in Christ, you are eternally saved. I don't care what the naysayers say, nothing you do or nothing you can say will ever take your eternal life once you get in Christ. That's your position.
You'll always be a born-again child of God when you get born again. But what about your practice? Where's your practice at? Boy, Pastor Roy Grigsby helped me this morning, anybody I ever know. He showed me what my position was, and in verse 12, he showed me how to bring my practice in line with my position. Verse 12 says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Who? You. I'm not much at English, but I know in that statement, the subject is not mentioned. The subject is you. You let not sin therefore reign in your body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. God saved us from our death and our trespasses and our sin and the wickedness and wretched condition that we're in. He saved us and imputed to us His righteousness. I have the righteousness of Christ tonight, and therefore I am to yield myself unto righteousness and not to sin. It all depends on what you're yielded to. You can yield to the flesh and live in sin, live according to the sins of the flesh, or you can yield unto righteousness and live a righteous and pure life before God and men. We have two natures. We have a sin nature. We have a divine nature that God gave us. And we have to feed that divine nature. Somebody asked an old black preacher one time about this battle between the flesh and the spirit. And he said, what do you do about it? He said, I liken it to my dog that had two puppies. One of them grew up healthy, one of them grew up a runt. Said, which one grew up healthy? He said, the one I fed the most. That's the way it is with our spiritual life. We have a sinful nature. We have a fleshy nature. We have a divine nature. And the one that takes control is the one that we feed. Yield unto your flesh and you reap of the flesh. Yield unto the spirit, you'll reap life eternal. That's what the Bible says. I got to go on. What did Spafford say in his song about this? Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate. Even as a born-again child of God, I am helpless without the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's regarded my helpless estate and shed his own blood for my soul. And then finally, the reason that can be well with my soul, it's because my Savior's coming back. I thank God tonight. He saved me by His grace. He nailed my sins to the cross and took them out of the way. Amen. My circumstances are under His control. Satan is defeated at Calvary. And thank God Jesus is coming back. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again receiving to myself, that where I am there you may be also. And whither I go, you know. And the way you know. Acts 1:11. The angel which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go. It's well tonight with my soul because I have the blessed hope of the soon return of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's coming back to get me. This world's in a mess. I get discouraged. I even go through times of pure depression and despondency. I get worried about the troubles that's all around us and why this ain't, why that ain't happening. But I thank God I can say tonight, it is well with my soul because of, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Got no reason to be cast down. My sins are gone. My circumstances are under control. Satan is defeated foe. And my Savior's coming again to take me out of this old sin cursed world. I say hallelujah. Let's be encouraged tonight and not be downtrodden in our soul. Let's stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege of preaching the Word of God. Lord, I hope I've been able to encourage some of you people. Lord, we're thankful tonight that our sins were nailed to the cross of Calvary. Now, Lord, there may be some here tonight that's never appropriated the shed blood of Christ to their sin, still lost, still dead, and trespasses in sin. I pray, God, you speak to that heart tonight. May they come tonight and surrender that heart and that life, repent of that sin, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to the Savior of their soul. Well, there may be somebody here tonight in unusual circumstances. God, they're just at their wits' end, don't know which way to turn. Lord God, help them tonight to realize that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Help us, God, to realize tonight that Satan's a defeated foe. We don't have to live by the dictates of the flesh, that we yield ourselves to the Spirit of God to live holy and righteously before you. God, thank you for that blessed hope of eternal life, and that blessed hope of the soon return of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray you'd have your will and your way during this time of invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We just